Hello. This is the KPFK Finance Committee meeting, September 23rd, and it is 3:05. I'm Kim Kaufman. I'm the secretary, the chair, and the secretary, and I will call the roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron? Alan Beek?
Here.
Okay. Brett Blair?
Here.
Bella DeSoto? Dave Johnson?
Present.
Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman? That's me. I'm here. Janine Rohn?
I'm here. Thank you.
Michael Novick?
President, I'm going to mute, though, because I'm out of demonstration. There's a helicopter overhead.
All right. Paulina Vasiliev? John Wanger? Barry Brooks?
Present.
Okay, and we have a special guest today, Christine Blasdale, the development director, and she has a limited time to be with us, so I'm asking if we can all put aside the formalities like approving the agenda and you know, minutes and all that stuff. Is that acceptable to the group? Well, do I have any objections?
Yes.
Is that an okay?
Yes.
No objections.
All right.
No objections.
Okie doke. All right. So Christine Blasdale is our development director, and based on the job description that we've seen, there are a couple of areas in that job description which, you know, relate to what we're doing now, which is basically trying to make the budget, like develop and maintain income and expenditure tracking and evaluation systems. This is something we're having a hard time with right now, so perhaps she can help. Produce effective, high-quality proposals and reports, income and expenditure budget planning and management, attend finance committee meetings when necessary to report and give advice on fundraising matters. So these all seem to be in our wheelhouse, so perhaps, you know, Christine has something, you know, would like to say hello and you know, let us know what she thinks about the budget as we're making it. We're in the process.
I'm here today to just to lend a hand in whatever capacity, the capacity that I can the most. As you may or may not know, the duties that I've been under Aniel Fields, he has changed a bit of my responsibility because of the fact that we are in such a lurch with revenue. The fund drives have been my main focus because that is really right now the only way we're making money or raising any money to keep the station alive, to pay for payroll, central services. So my focus has been primarily on fund drive, not only on creating specials that can raise large amounts of money in a short amount of time, but also working with other programmers and helping them out as much, creating an all station list that they can use. I encourage them, of course, to come up with their own premiums if they feel they have something for their audience. But I'm there to pretty much coordinate thank you gifts between PRA, outside vendors, and also working with programmers. This next drive that we have coming on, I am focused on working with health and wellness programming, different programmers to get them up to speed so that we might be able to also replay some other shows as well. But I wanted to come on because in a public meeting that was the KPFK local station board meeting just the other day, there were some things that were stated that I wanted to go on record and correct. But And there have been things, there have been things that have been said publicly at the LSB meetings that are also, that were, have been very incorrect that I have not stated, but I, if we have time, I can leave that for a little bit later. But it was stated, of course, Kim had mentioned my name and said that my numbers are declining. I don't know where you're getting that information from, Kim, but the comment was the dogs aren't eating the dog food anymore. And I got to tell you, that really kind of hit me. First of all, our listeners and our donors are not dogs. Second of all, the premiums and the thank you gifts that I offer the listeners are things that I wholeheartedly believe in, that I think will help them in their lives. And they're vetted very properly from myself, but it was kind of like a shuckster chill kind of comment. And I take offense to that because, again, the donors that I have met recently, I've been offering my services. I've been doing a Fund Drive premium where I get to meet with the listeners. We offer them a thank you gift in the $200 range. And I meet with them online in Zoom, have a 2.5 hour, sometimes it's 3 hours conversation with them. And the response from our listeners when they talk to me is, thank you so much for offering these thank you gifts because they're so important to me in my life. And they're also very happy that they get to, after, you know, 18 years, 20 years being on the air, to finally, you know, meet and engage with me. Now, those type of thank you gifts, I'm donating my time. Usually they're on the weekend, and so I dedicate my time to that. But I love it because I actually get to meet and interact with the listeners. And so I think that if I went back to the listeners and said, by the way, you're being referred to as a dog who is eating
Christine,
dog food.
Christine, okay, let me just stop you there. That comment was referring to the whole thing. We're down to making $15,000 per day, okay? So I apologize to you that it sounded poorly, and it did, but nevertheless, we are down to $15,000 a day.
Yes. I understand that. I understand that better than...
Let me
finish. Go ahead.
You used to do like $5,000 a day. The highest I see is like $2,000, and it's often much lower. And, you know, compared to other programmers who do have other high numbers and more people donating, it's a decline over the
Kim,
years.
Kim, what are you,
what
are you looking
declining.
At? I understand that, but what are you looking at? If you're looking at the August one, which just recently wrapped up.
No, Christine, I'm looking at historically. And I don't really want to get in the weeds with this argument.
No, I need to correct you because I have right now in front of me the May June totals, right? We raised over $275,000. I raised 54% of that, all right? $150,000, well over my yearly salary.
How much time did you have on air relative to the others? This is something we are trying to find out.
The others are not raising money. We have flagship programs like Amy Goodman.
I'm looking at per hour, Christine. You can make 54%, but you're on the air like 75%. I don't know if that's an accurate number, but it's
but that is not
numbers. We want to see these numbers, Christine. I don't want to argue about you have this one figure and I have this one figure and we don't have all of the figures. That is not why I invited you on here. We're talking about the budget.
I understand, but I am correcting for
data.
The record.
Okay.
Listen, I am correcting for the record misstatements that have been made. Months and months ago, another LSB member went on and said that Spanish language programming raised 40 to 45% of the Fund Drive totals. That is a lie. The reason why I do what I do is to raise money for those programs that do not have the ability to raise the money so we can hear those programs so that they can be aired.
Okay.
Now, I wish that all of the programmers raised $2,000 or $3,000 an hour. I wish they did. Amy Goodman can't raise that kind of money. Sometimes it's $100. So you have shows that have high listenership, but they're not bringing in the money. So do we Do we stop airing my shows so that $1.5 million is missing from the budget?
Christine, we want to see data, okay? This is not, you know, you've had 10 minutes to air your grievances. I apologize for, you know, my statements, which were insensitive. We want to see the data that we have repeatedly asked for. Can we move on, please? We're talking
this
about
the budget.
This is
Paulina. Kim, hi. This is Paulina. Just saying it up here.
Hi, Paulina. I want to take a stack, but, you know, we're talking about the budget. We're having a hard time setting the fund drive chart because nobody at the station understands that yet. And I just thought, based on your job description, you had some, you were working on the budget in your capacity as development director. If not, I can just take a stack and see if anybody else has questions for you. But that's what we're here for. You know, we're making a budget now, and it's very difficult. And in terms of, you know, your income and expenditure budget planning and management, we're having a hard time because the expenses are, uneven. You know, they're not in the places they should be always, and that's a problem in evaluating and comparing year to year and where things should be and making a budget. So these are our problems.
That's understandable. And I'm just telling you, and if Danielle was on the call, I was hoping that he would be able to join us, but my purview and my duties from my general manager have changed to be focused on raising as much money as possible due to the fact that we had to pay back pensions from previous management that was not paid, also the legal fees, also the central services, all of that. Making sure that our monthly bills are paid has been my priority, and so that's what I have to be focused on. Now, with Barry and Danielle working on the budget, if they need my assistance on anything as far as when it comes to relation to expenses for Fund Drive, I will be happy to meet with them.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Paulina, to the stack.
Okay, Paulina, I was mistaken about your job description, and we can move on. Paulina, go ahead. Okay. Anybody else who wants?
Hi. Oh, sure. Sorry.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Okay. Christine, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to hear from you, and I apologize. I was a few minutes late. I heard the last 7 or 8 minutes or so of the discussion. It's unfortunate that there were misstatements about how much Spanish language programming is raising. The thing is that we need to have numbers from the membership department, and what we've been told is that now with the switch to allegiance, those numbers cannot be given to this committee or make public because there's a learning curve and people are still not comfortable with generating certain specific reports that have been requested. So I'm wondering if you are familiar mm-hmm. with the Allegiance and how that's going. That's one question. Maybe I have another one, but maybe let's go in for parts. If you could just address Allegiance.
Yes. Your opinion. That's not a problem. So the history of reporting, here's the thing. We used to, when we were on the old MEMSIS system, we used to post, and this, if you were at the station, you know this, we used to post during a fund drive the daily sheets, and it would show the show and then how much came in during that hour. What happened is that we got flack back for that, and we were told, you know, not to post that because it showed poorly. Like if a show didn't raise any money, people didn't want to have that seen and then have it go against their program or their collective. Okay, so then that they started to not post those results, right? Those hourly results. And we also had a situation when somebody who's no longer allowed in the building defamed all of the sheets and wrote crazy stuff, and we had an issue and had to call the police, all this stuff. Anyway, that said, we can, with this system, from my understanding with Allegiance, we can, for certain programs, put into the system a request to see on this show how much was raised during the course of the fund drive. Getting those results and information on the daily, like, you know, every single day to all of the different programmers, that might be time consuming, but I know that there is a way that you can pull up. So if I wanted to put my name in there or the name of a show that I did, I could see across the board how much was raised. That is actually the Allegiant system is actually very good for that. We're also to find out donor information. So if somebody donated and took no gift, but they pledged $1,000 on somebody's show, we can pull up that information, find out a little bit more about the donor. And then Anielle can write a, you know, a thank you letter and also a possible, you know, request to talk to them and seek out larger donations. So I do think that the Allegiant system is actually very good for that. The problem is that we've been working so long on a bit of an antiquated system. If you talk to members, and I would highly suggest you also speak to some people within the membership department, what it used to be is that things had to be multiply entered in. So I enter premiums in most programs. If you enter in a thank you gift into the system, you know, you put in the title, the description, the pledge amount, the cost, the order information, and that goes into one system. Then it used to be it had to be re-entered into another system and then re-entered again. And then when it came time to order it, a whole other system. So apparently with Allegiant, this is streamlined and made easier. But yes, the learning curve for those folks in membership has been very tough. Plus, we're in a pandemic. The people are not at the office. Based on safety and health considerations, it's kind of difficult for everybody to be doing this remotely. As you know, even with a meeting, it's difficult sometimes. So I do think it's going to be easier for us to find out information, and maybe we can test it out in this drive where we can find out for the programmers, so they can get information right away on how much they raised. I know I need the feedback. I need to know how things go. Yeah, I got to have the feedback. If not, I go, well, did the show did well? Mm-hmm. Did it suck? You know, all of that. So,
yeah, thank you. So, you do have access to these numbers, and I'm not saying that it needs to be made public like it used to be posted in the kitchen room, you know, and that was an unfortunate incident. I didn't know about that. I'm saying the numbers that committees need in order to understand what's going on, not necessarily make it public. And I also understand very much the question of perception because, nobody wants their show on the wall of shame, right? Saying, look, you know, you raised exactly $0. It might even be wrong, too, by the way, because sometimes you're raising money for the next show because not everybody calls in exactly at the hour where you're airing. Some people need to actually get home and then they remember and then they call the number and they'll pledge. So you know, all of those things that are delicate, and we need to be respectful of you know, people's work, because whoever's already doing fund drive programming, they're donating most of them their time. You know, we have a lot of volunteer fundraising, right? So that's a very important thing. I wanted to ask you about this. Now you have the access. So how come then we're being told
Paulina,
that we're, you know,
up,
we can't have the number?
Wrap it up.
Yeah, sorry.
Other people.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I promise. I'm actually gonna have to get off the call very soon. So I'll. This is the last time I'll speak. I have an important question, Christine. You know, many of your shows get their reruns, right? You know, they air over and over. And I understand that, you know, we've been explained that it's because, well, maybe the same guest is not available to do a fresh show. But couldn't you maybe come in live more often so that people don't feel like, oh, I heard this show yesterday. It's exactly the same one. It could be the same guest. It could be the same cut, you know, pull the same clips. But, you know, wrap and cut around them, do pitches live more often. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think with the situation that we have, because everything is being sort of done remotely, I can update some of the shows that I'm doing. I'm also right now working. That's why I have to end the call a little early today, is because I have two recordings back-to-back for new shows that I need to do. The thing is that one reason why we rely on those some of those replays is that they consistently do, you know, extremely well, $2,000 or $3,000 in an hour. And based on the numbers that we have to raise, if it's 15 to, you know, my goal is not 16,000 a day. My personal goal, my goal in my head is 22,000. I know that we won't make it, but there's programs that are in drive time that are making so little money, that's why we have to rely on these specials and the ones that we know will bring in income. I like doing new shows because I like doing new shows. I hate hearing the same thing, but, figuring out if it's going to raise $2,000 or $3,000 in that hour, it's a little bit of a gamble. And right now we just don't have that ability to gamble too much. But, I totally appreciate the concept and the idea, and I'll do my best to do that, sort of refresh some of those older shows.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, first of all, Christine, I'd like to express my wholehearted appreciation for your understanding of our audience and potential audience and your incredible ability to raise money and understand what a lot of our people in our community want to hear and want to contribute for.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, what is the percentage, do you think, of fund drive income that you have generated, both recently and historically?
Historically, from the numbers that I have, and I have my data with, I have partial data here with me, and then more at the station, locked in an office, but it's traditionally about 40 to 45%. On average, it's about $1.5 million that I raise annually. That's not considering web totals nor other work or working with other programmers to help them. That's just my shows. May, June was 54% of the total of the fund drive raised, fund drive totals raised. So it's a considerable amount. I think it's a great return on investment as far as Pacifica is concerned. For my salary, my limited benefits, you know, I don't have my children on healthcare or my spouse. It's just me that the network pays for, and I think that it's a very good return on investment for KPFK and Pacifica in general. I would like to work with the LSB and any other organization within Pacifica to work on other fundraising abilities and think outside of the box on ways that we can raise money, because it's not limited to my skill set's not limited to just doing our pitches like a QVC type, you know, program. It's other ideas I can help develop. So if the LSB wants to create, or I think you've been talking about creating a fundraising or fundraising committee, I'd be happy to meet periodically with that group as well to hatch out some ideas and get things going.
Thank you. I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that there will be reductions in premium costs as premium-based fundraising has brought in considerable income, as you mentioned. Will a reduction in premium expenses depress income, in your opinion?
I've been met with a very interesting challenge. My supervisors have requested that I, as much as possible, they know that I can't do it on everything, but as much as possible, get either thank you gifts that are free or extremely low cost. I have been lucky enough to find some people that will donate their product or their service, but when it comes to certain things, they can give us cost or below cost. But having that that challenge has had to make me think outside of the box. That's why I'm offering a webinar. You know, it's a podcast boot camp, podcast training boot camp for people so that they can learn radio skills and podcasting skills. So I'm donating that to the station, and I have a few other vendors that are donating their time and their services. It's very difficult, but it's not undoable. There are certain things, though, that we do have to have a cost for, and I'm just trying to keep them as low as I can at this point, knowing that. And also,
I
another
would,
thing.
If the reduction in premiums expenses is going to seriously encumber fundraising in general, I think that this committee should object to that. I don't think that that's – we shouldn't be decreasing the tools we need to generate income that we know have generated income in the past.
Well, that's what I was – that's
not
what
the
I was
place
thinking,
to
Grace.
Cut. You don't cut –
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, with the possible, you know, I don't know what the plans are. I don't know what the executive management of Pacifica has in mind. I would hope that they would keep those personnel that generate revenue or are a part of helping generate revenue, that they would keep us on. I know that there's major cuts happening with staff. But it would be shooting your foot to limit yourself on how you can raise money. One thing also that I want to just mention, when it comes to the thank you gifts and the premiums, I am trying as much as possible to also get things that cost nothing or very low cost, but also things that we don't have to ship out physically. That's why you hear a lot of the digital download programs and the Zoom meetings, seminars, and things like that. So that it's something that we don't also have that added expense of postage as well. So that's in all in consideration when I'm trying to develop new Fundrive shows.
Can I ask you, please, to alert us immediately if you see a decline?
Wait, Grace. Does anybody, Grace, please. Does anybody else want to get on the stack?
Okay.
Michael Novick.
Grace, can you let Michael go on, please?
Bella,
okay,
to the staff, please, just
Michael
one second.
And Bella,
Christine, please alert at least the directors if you see a significant drop in fund drive revenue because
yes.
of decreased premium expenses.
Grace,
I will.
We should
Thank
be
you.
Able to monitor
Thank
that.
Thank
this
you.
Is our responsibility to monitor that. Go ahead, Michael.
And Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope I can be audible. I'm outdoors,
Michael.
And so I'll try to, yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Please mute.
I think that, Christine referred to some of the programming as QVC style, and I think that is an issue. It's not to fault Christine, but I think that if so much of our fundraising is dependent upon one programmer and one style of programming, I think that that's a reflection of a weakness at the station and our overall programming and our connection to a potential audience. Our membership is down substantially. Our per day totals are down from what they used to be. Christine said she's aiming for 22,000, but at this point, that's kind of a pipe dream. We were down below 15 for a while and came back up in this last fund drive. The station has been in the red substantially, I mean, over $500,000 the last 2 years, covered by a bequest a year ago and by some of the PPP funding this year by not paying central services. So that's just a big, big problem. I think that, the goal of Pacifica from the foundation was that we would air programming that people want to support. And I think that if there are drive time shows that are not drawing in any substantial amount of support, that means that our programming is not meeting the needs of the community. So I think that that's a very, very serious problem. And it's not to diminish Christine's accomplishments, but if over half the money is coming from just that one set of shows that she produces, it means that the rest of our shows are not doing what they should be doing. And we need programming that is better responsive to the community, engages the community more, and people feel they can support it. KPCC and KCRW have had pay cuts and diminishing recently, but it's mostly based on cuts in the money they get from corporations, they call it underwriting. Basically, it's advertising. Advertising budgets have been cut around the board. but their listener support has actually gone up, and their podcast income has gone up to where it exceeds their hours. Sorry, I'm outdoors. It's very noisy. So I think that there's a lot of questions that have to be taken up that are beyond the scope of this committee, because I think it does get into programming. But I just want to say that essentially what Christina said is an indictment of our programming, and it's not on her.
Okay, Bella's next.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine, for coming. I know it's difficult. I have to completely, over 100% agree with Michael. We have been arguing this, I have for years, that our station has turned into the home shopping network, and you stated that, obviously. These are people that come in for a product or a service. These are people that have no connection with our mission, with our funding, with our founding principles. These are people that have no roots in our community mostly, and these are people that will never stick around, will not become members, because they do not appreciate the membership process and the scope of Pacifica Foundation. So we have shifted our station into a QVC format, which has been killing us and by extension the network.
Okay.
So we must shift immediately. And I fully agree with Kim that if we were to take into account the per days of each fund drive as they have been extended more and more, then your returns are much lower. And if you look at it in that respect, then you may be able to see the factoring. By the way, I need to correct you. Last year, I made a statement at the LSB after doing an analysis of a fund drive. And what I said was, and I was very specific, and this was changed or shifted by someone, what I said was that the diminishing amount of time that the Spanish in block had been allocated, which was no more than 13 days for the entire month, they were able to bring 46% or somewhere in that respect, given the scope of their time. That is not to equate with the full scope of the fund drive. So you have to put it into perspective, okay? Whoever gave you that information.
Okay. Bella, please, we only have limited time. Dave?
Yes, but you talk too much.
Dave?
Thank you. And thank you, Christine, for attending our meeting. Just on the podcast issue, there are 280,000 new podcasts that have been started within the last 90 days. There are currently 1.4 million podcasts being produced, and those podcasts produce 35 million episodes, whereas the average podcast listener listens to six of those. But I had a question for Christine. Am I correct, Christine, that you hold a paid salary management position at KPFK? And I also wanted to ask a second question, and that is, if she is paid by any of the other stations for doing fund drive or other development work at those stations. In other words, does she make an extra income when she goes to work at for WBAI or something? So those are my two questions. Thank you very much.
To your answer to your first question, I am. I have been a paid salaried employee of KPFK. When I was interim general manager, after I was interim general manager for a year, from the request of Bill Crozier, when Annual Zuberry Fields came in as general manager, he had asked his executive director to keep me on because obviously he saw how much money was being raised annually, and so that was agreed upon to keep me on. And as far as any type of other employment with other stations or arrangements, I have a letter. This is not going. I don't feel comfortable also stating this publicly on a public format because, again, this is employment issues, and this is not something for the public to have. But I have both previous PNB elected executive managers of Pacifica, Bill Crozier, and Chief Financial Officer Sam Agarwal, have gave me full authorization to engage in working for other stations as a consultant. Also, prior to that was Summer Reese, and I have letters to that extent. If you have a question regarding my working for any other station or doing anything else, I would appreciate if that's brought to me personally. And without making motions, it would be really great for someone to talk to me so that I could provide you the documentation. That is something that I find very not very appropriate for the public.
So can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
So just to make sure I understand your answer, you currently are a paid, currently right now, are a paid salary manager, hold a paid salary management position at KPFK. You're on a salary, you're not hourly. That's my
correct.
Question.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
And Kim, I went over my time allotment, but I got about another 4 minutes before I have to jump off.
Okay. Well, I don't hear anybody else. I want to thank you, Christine, for coming. I was misinformed about your duties, and that's specifically why I asked you to come on here, and I put that in my email. Both times to let you know that these were the issues that we thought you could speak to. So the only thing you can help us with is we need better data about these fund drives. Whatever the changes between Allegiance and MEMSIS, we were getting good data from MEMSIS. I know the back end stuff was messy, but we were getting data and now we're not, or getting very sketchy data, and we'd like better data.
I can work with management on getting something and getting something formulated. We can try and get something formulated moving on so that we can get some real-time results for you. The request that was made, though, to get 3 years worth of, fund drive premiums and what the list list them and who raised the most and who raised the least and how many times, that is just a task that is unaccomplished. I mean,
Christine,
yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm not sure, I know that KPFA gets that data and they get it easily. Okay. So this was
what system are they using? Are they using
MEMSIS,
what are
MEMSIS.
They using?
This was, and I made this request before we had Allegiance, and y'all still have MEMSIS there, so it's still functional. But this was entirely possible from MEMSIS, and if in fact we switched over to a new system that can't give us this kind of data, well, we have a different kind of problem. if we can't get even more granular information than we were getting. But
no, I think with Allegiance, you'll be able to get very specified information.
Well,
the only
we
problem
may want
with
different
Allegiance,
stuff. We're not interested in donors, individual donors.
No. I know you're interested. I know you're interested in seeing what, and you should be interested in seeing also what programmers, what shows, or have the ability to raise funds.
Yeah, and general trends and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's,
and
95% of the revenue of this station.
I do think with this system, it will be a bit easier. It's more based, though, I think, on premiums. One of the problems that I saw with Allegiance, the one that I was a little bit of an eye-opener for me, and it was a challenge for me actually finding my hourly totals, was let's see, how do I explain this? In the old system, because we had people in the phone room, right, and Terry. And so if a pledge came in at 4 o'clock or 4:01, but it was obviously someone who was calling from a show, let's say I had been on from 3 to 4, and they were trying to call in to pledge for something, and they finally got through, or when the person who's taking the pledge hit enter with the credit card information, and it was over 4:01. Terry and he would go, well, that money is credited to Christine's show because
they're asking for her premium, and obviously they're just calling in. What happens with Allegiance is that it automatically just puts it on to the next hour. So you'll see sometimes shows after mine with $500 or $1,000, normally they would not be raising that. And when you look and you see what was pledged for, it was something that was running the hour before. That's the only thing that's a little bit – it's based just purely like on hour. So you have to kind of dive into the numbers. So that's why when you see a show – there was a show on that would traditionally not raise that kind of money, and it was a high number. And I was like, wait a second. When I went in and looked, they were like four or five pledges from the previous hour. So we just need to take into consideration that when we're looking at the data. And I got to get going, but just let me know if there's, you know, more information that you need. If you need to hold a special fundraising meeting, that's fine. And I think it was Dave who was talking about podcasting. I highly recommend that Pacifica move to the new century and get the best of Pacifica, do a Pacifica podcast, because that's how we can reach more people outside of our signal areas. Terrestrial radio is great and everything, but you can't reach that many people with terrestrial radio right now. You need to go to a podcast format, and that's my specialty, so I can help in whatever capacity that's needed on that. But I do have to go to record a fun drive show now.
Thank you very much, Christine. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
bye.
Christine. Thank you.
Thanks, Grace. Bye.
Okay, well, shall we get back to our agenda? Can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Does everybody have it? Hello?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Any changes or comments? Okay, so I guess the agenda is approved. Did everybody look at the minutes? Can I get a motion to approve the September 9th minutes?
Motion to approve the September 9th minutes.
Okay, any changes? Comments? Okay. Okay, so once again, I set a meeting for next week. In case anybody thinks we need an extra meeting. Otherwise, our next meeting is October 14th. I should really put this at the end. It's out there. If we can decide at the end what we want to do. Okay, is there a report from the business manager? We did not get a written report. I will note that. We did get a new draft about an hour and 45 minutes before the meeting of the budget.
But you got it, though, didn't you? You got it, yeah. I just wanted to report that the AP balance as of August 31st outstanding payables was $3,779.51, in which I sent Kim a copy of the report.
I never saw it. I didn't get it.
Well, I sent it to you.
When?
A week ago. Oh, well, actually Thursday, which was the 17th. That's when I sent it.
Was this the one with just the TechSoup stuff on it?
Right.
Well, okay. But that's not a full AP. I sent it to everyone, but that's just some five forgotten, you know, invoices.
Those are not forgotten invoices. Those are invoices in which we have incurred the expense, but we have not made the payment.
Well, you said you never got the invoice. Anyways, okay. So this AP report is after that, or a different one, or what?
It's the outstanding balance of AP for all the vendors that we have not paid as of August 31st, 2020.
Okay, well, Okay, I don't have an AP report. I have one with TechSoup, but we don't have a complete AP report. So
okay, well, if you didn't get a copy, then I'll send it again. Okay, that's what. But I sent it to you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's let Barry send it, please.
Repeat the amount, please, Barry.
$3,779.51.
Okay. Know the question?
Okay.
Can it wait, or do you want to do it now?
I asked to be placed on the queue, Kim, before Polina.
I know you did.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Can we let Barry finish?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so for the month of August, we had website income of $38,186.19, which was divided
38,000 and what?
$38,186.19, and that was divided amongst DonorBox at $6,627.30,
PayPal at $6,005.37. Wait, Barry, please, when you state numbers, go slowly, because you have not given us a written report. We are all stenographers writing this down. So DonorBox was how much?
$6,627.30.
Okay, we don't need
PayPal.
The cents. Okay.
$6,510
from PayPal?
Correct.
Okay.
And then Meva had $10,176. And Allegiant came in at $14,872.
Okay. So,
go ahead.
Just to clarify, is this all what you put into listener support?
Yeah, that's part of listener support, correct. And then I go ahead and reclassify it into website income.
Okay. Okay. Okay, go on, please.
Okay. In regards to the budget, I wanted to make a mention to you that the fund drive chart at the bottom of the page, toward the bottom, has a number for total October estimated income of $2,030,000. That number corresponds with the total amount of listener support revenue on the budget for website income plus listener support. So I just want to give you that caveat a little bit right there.
What is that number?
$2,030,000 for the year of fiscal year 21.
So that's what you're saying your revenue will be in the budget.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, and then currently we do not have earthquake insurance on the building at KPFK. We have a quote from DeManuel Insurance Company of about $7,838 for the year. I think we're going to enter into that agreement in October of the new fiscal year.
All right.
Bounce to the stack.
When
you take a stack, please include me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Barry? Bank balances?
Bank balance. Let's see. Yeah, we're at $14,000, but that number is going to change because we have not received our sustainer deposit that we usually get on the 23rd or the 24th, that amounts to about between $23,000 and $27,000. So possibly tomorrow we'll hopefully get that deposit.
10 to the stack.
And that's it for me.
Okie doke. I have Bella, Paulina, Beth, and then Ken, and then Kim.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. Every month we have the same situation. We have no written reports. We go based on your oral reading, which makes it even more challenging over the phone. This has got to stop. This is an unsustainable situation. I want to take you back to the so-called accounts payable report. It was a PDF. I tried exporting it into Excel, which I did, and it is absolutely absurd. A number of payments that needed to be made, that are made monthly, are not included in that. And you have never given us a comprehensive accounts payable report, which is amazing, of course. And that is the reason why we never know how much money we need. How can you tell us that KPFK only owes $3,700 as of 8:30, or today, rather? That doesn't make sense either. And the fact that we have no earthquake insurance, up until 2015, there was insurance, and I scanned the bill that was signed by Leslie Radford. The question is, why was this not continuous? The station has been operating without earthquake insurance, and the rest is just worthless. Thank you.
Okay, Paulina? And everybody else, please mute. Paulina?
Yes. Thank you, Barry. Does NETA have access to view the bank statements of all our accounts? And I also want you to mention, how many bank accounts does KPFK have at this time? And whether all of those are included in the report.
Okay, to answer your first question, NETA does have access to all our bank accounts. We currently have a savings account that has about approximately $100 in it. And then we have a video project account.
We lost you with the video project.
We have the video project, and we have a solar account.
A voice.
Oh, and this strike contact. That, the savings account has $1,000 in it.
And the other accounts? I couldn't hear. I'm sorry.
The video project has $7,000 in it, and the solar project has $104 in it. So I'm sorry, the solar account has $7,000, and then the video project has $100 in it. I got it turned around.
What is the solar account and the video project? Could you explain?
Oh, Paulina, let me explain to you off. These are old restricted accounts for other things that have long stories. They're just hanging around. They've been used for other stuff since then. And I don't know for the last 3 years what they've been used for, but they're, you know, no longer a solar or video project.
Barry, can you confirm that?
We still have the money in our account. It's just that, I guess because of the positioning of the station, we couldn't take advantage of the solar grant. So that's one of the problems with why we can't utilize the funds.
That's one of the problems of what?
That's why we can't utilize the funds. The funds are just sitting there for use for the solar project.
Yeah, no, that I'll explain when I get the stack.
Oh, I'm done for now. Thank you.
Beth?
Thank you. Hi, Barry. This is Beth. I'm the new chair of the board. And I've got a couple questions I wanted to follow up with you. Did I understand you to say that we currently have no earthquake insurance? Is that correct?
That's correct. Before I was making the payment.
How long has that been the case? When did it last?
Since January of this year. That's when it stopped.
Why did it stop?
I guess the contract expired, and I was told that NEDA was supposed to pick up the liability insurance for the station and all in the rest of the network. So I was talking to Tamara, and she said that we don't have earthquake insurance on our building. So we went out and solicited a bid for the insurance, and so we're supposed to be making the first payment in October.
And that, for me, that kind of begs the question, what other insurance don't we have? And I realize that's a bigger question than you're in a position to answer on the spot. But I think I for one, would like a clear presentation of what our insurance coverage is these days, and if there are other lapses, and if so, why, and what's being done to remedy that. And I should probably make that request of the general manager for the next LSB meeting, because honestly, for me, it's absolutely hair-raising to hear that.
Beth, please let me clarify. National does take care of all other insurance. I started noticing that there were no payments last year, and I mentioned it multiple times in the finance committee, and Barry said, I don't know, I think it's liability and NEDA's taking care of it. I said, no, only KPFK and KPFA have earthquake insurance, and I pushed at it at this meeting, and finally, action has been taken. So, but we don't know of the other insurance. That's not where KPFK only takes care of earthquake insurance. So if it starts in April, we can pray to the gods we don't have anything for the next week. And you know, that's where we're at.
So, okay, but for me, I was seated on the board for the first time in December, and this is the first that I'm hearing about it. And it's hair-raising to me to find out that the organization for which you and I and all of us, or you're not a board member, but for those of us who are board members, we have fiscal responsibility for this organization. And to find out that we're not covered for something as fundamental as earthquake insurance, it really honestly leaves me wondering, what else don't I know that I need to know? I don't even know where to begin to ask. When I did, I asked a couple of months ago, I asked Anyel for a copy of our emergency response plan and was told that, in fact, there is none, which puts us in violation of both OSHA and California state law. I need to follow up with him again to see what he's done to remedy that in the interim. But this on top of that, this will receive my future, my ongoing attention. Thank you. I'll yield back to the floor. Thank you.
Ken?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
Barry, could you repeat? I got two questions. Did you say we're waiting for $23,000 ongoing support, one check from one individual?
No, this is a deposit that we get every month, usually on between the 23rd and the 27th of the month, that we get for monthly sustainers. So that amount of money, you know, is just under like $30,000, but we have not received that yet.
Who does that come from? I'm not understanding if that's, is that one entity? $30,000
no,
a month from Mr. Gottschalk? Where is that coming from?
It usually comes, I think, from Braintree.
Say it again?
They make a deposit to our account automatically.
Braintree?
Uh-huh.
What is that? Is that like a system we have for accepting donations?
Correct.
Okay. So those are online donations accumulated by a third-party system called Braintree.
Correct. And monthly sustainers.
All right. That's where the funds go. Okay. The next question is, who told you that any TA would take care of the earthquake insurance?
Well, that's
what you were told. You were told. Who told you?
Yeah. What happened was I was making the payment like back in last year, and then I noticed that the contract expired. I didn't have to make the payment anymore. And I said, well, you know, we got to have insurance. So I called Netta, and Tamara, the CFO at the time, said that they were going to be taking care of all our insurance for the network.
Okay, so someone at NETA told you when you asked about earthquake, they said we're taking care of all insurance, implying
right, liability,
that,
liability,
loss,
liability
that includes earthquake.
You're right, liability but, insurance and all that.
Okay, and that was the last you heard about it until whatever. Who alerted you now that they had to go get a new contract?
Me.
Yeah,
I did.
Well, Kim did. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Kim.
That was my only question. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? I'm next, but anybody else?
This is Michael Novick. I'm back on the call. I'd like to get on spec.
Go ahead.
So I'm sorry I missed part of the call. It was a demonstration of helicopters over there. I couldn't really hear anything. I don't know if this question is going to be asked, but I'll ask it. We heard that sometimes money is bills are paid directly out of the PayPal account, and I'm wondering whether all the payments into the PayPal account are reported individually. In what way is income into Allegiance? Or whether it's only a lump sum that gets deposited and then that's recorded, and if so, whether there's any record of the individuals who are making PayPal donations as members and how that's kept track of. The larger question around the budget that we got, I didn't have a chance to look at it closely, but the introduction from Anil said there was still a $766,000 difference between income and expenses projected, and that seems to be after personnel cuts. So maybe I'm confused, or you could clear that up. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding your PayPal question, that PayPal is a report that's generated by Terry Guy, and he has it every month, and it tells you how much money that we have received via the website income. And then we do also make payments from that particular PayPal account for various, like sometimes we make payments for premium payments. And then we also, for example, we make payments for a company called MailChimp that we make payments, like $230 that we pay every month. So that gets inputted into Great Plains and ultimately gets into the listener
God
support.
God damn it, the fucking thing is not working.
Hey, somebody mute yourself. Mute yourself. Who is that?
That's not
that Ken?
That's the left. Oh, shit. Try it the other way. Fuck, ridiculous.
Oh, I think that's Ken, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Michael, are you done? Are you there?
I was muted, yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't actually catch the answer as I was leaving your parking structure and didn't hear it. As far as the budget was there, I didn't hear a response on that. I heard about Terry and the PayPal. Is the budget that was submitted a balanced budget or not?
No, we're at a loss of $700,000 at the end of the year. Part of that's attributed to the reduction in revenue because of the, you know, because of the fund drives. You've limited the fund drives to 129 days, and it's just very difficult to balance a budget with the expenditures that we have and having limited income.
Okay, we did, you know, allow for $800,000 in other income. So that was, you know, if there's some way to demonstrate that, or it said, actually the motion said if additional fundraisers were needed. So I think the main concern is getting a balanced budget. If you can't reduce the expenses enough, then, you know, yeah, there have to be more fundraisers. Nobody's arguing with that, but it was an attempt to...
Like, I mean, we had 174 fund drive days in 2020. I mean, you know, that's just, if you want to, you know, pare it down to 129 days, there's no income to cover the expenses, enough expenses. Your expenses are going to exceed your income, your revenue.
Yes, but I'm saying that I did not look at the actual budget because it came in at 2 o'clock and I was thinking it has to go to this demonstration, but and what Aniel sent, he described significant cuts in payroll, a percentage cut in the pay, and then a number of positions that were eliminated and so on. And it's not clear to me if the deficit that was shown is after those cuts or those cuts would accommodate the
Yeah, that budget that you receive reflects the 5% cut across the board in salary, and then also the elimination of all part-time workers and 3 permanent workers. Okay, so...
And there's still a $766,000 deficit after that, you're saying?
That's correct. I mean, because you have to pay the people their money for separation pay, for employee retirement pension plan, vacation, you have to pay for that. So that's another expenditure that adds on to that. So, yeah. I wish I could, you know, have a magic wand. The whole key is your revenue. If you could boost your revenue up, then you could take care of it. Then you would have a balanced budget. But because we have been, our revenue has been adversely affected, even before the COVID-19, it's just very difficult to have a balanced budget with 129 days of
One additional question. Do we yet have any list of how many people are sustainers and total amounts of money coming in from sustainers?
I don't know the total amount of sustains. I'll have to find that out from Terry. How many sustains we have? I don't have that information.
Sustainers? Do we have? Do we know how many people are sustainers and how much money is coming in from sustainers?
I don't have specific numbers for that, but I can get that. I'll do that. Thanks, Coach.
All right, I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. So you're saying NIDA has access to all the 4 accounts. That means that they can go online any time of the day and look at the accounts, correct?
That's correct. We don't have control of our accounts. NIDA does.
Well, that's not the issue. They wanted viewing privileges so they could check, you know, to see what's going on. And they didn't have that.
Whether you have viewing privileges or not, you still have control of the account.
Okay, but that's not the point. They wanted viewing privileges and they couldn't get it. Have they got it now? That's what they wanted.
They've had that a year ago. They got that a year ago.
That's not what they've said. Okay, moving on. According to your numbers, we had 174 fund drive days to date.
Yeah,
Wow.
I couldn't believe the number either. But when we had that fund drive in May, it started on May 19th, and it went all the way till June 30th. So that was the kicker right there.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Well, I would say 90 days in the first half of the year was a pretty big kicker as well. Okay.
90 days in October?
90 days through the first half of the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And last year and the year before. I mean, you know, once again, you had $550,000 of, like, free money last year. You still ran a deficit. You still had 138 fund drive days. And, you know, it's not a surprise. We're in a collapse now. This was easy to see. I want to point out that in these, in the personnel, there are no change in the health benefits or child care. So either that's an oversight or that's another kind of big problem.
That's not an oversight. That's where the union takes great care in protecting for the employee. So I didn't reduce the health benefit cost until Annielle can tell me whether or not we are going to reduce health care coverage.
Okay.
Well, the union usually protects that adamantly.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, you know, SAG-AFTRA just made, you know, cuts to their people. So I would say that is a negotiable point. And I don't know why our health bennies would stay the same without whatever. That's just a big chunk in our budget that I, you know,
spoiler
I hope
order.
Somebody's paying attention to. Go ahead, Paulina, what?
I suggest that those things be discussed in closed session.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I ended it there. I just noted it, and I said, you know, I hope this is being discussed elsewhere because it's a big chunk.
Not to lose back on that point. It's not anything that's confidential. If there's a reduction in the size of the staff, it seems like there would be a reduction in the cost of the benefits.
Yeah, but we're not. That's not our purview, Michael. So we're just taking note. The other thing I would really like to clear up, which would help in our revenue, would be getting a real confirmed fulfillment rate, because I'm seeing different things, like from 85% to 90%. 90% would make a big difference in this budget, and 85% less so. That's another thing I would like, and I think we should be able to get, is a determinative fulfillment rate. And if nobody has anything else, we can move on to the actual talking about the budget, which is next on the agenda. And is that someone? Hello? Does anybody want to comment on that? I mean, we didn't really get a chance to look at it. I noted that the phone, I think there's some play in the phone. That's, you know, over $125,000 year to date. And KPFA's phone is like one third of that. So that seems to me a chunk that could be looked at. My recollection is that when you put that interest on the loan in line 92, that my guess is I'll ask you. I'm not sure how many more interest payments there are. My understanding is they're paying one in maybe October, and then there's basically one more left. So that number may need to be looked at. I'm not sure what the monthly things are, but if you put it in there thinking it was for a year, yeah, no. I mean, I think there's only one more payment, one or two. So you may
so
be able
to see the $42,000 for the 1 month then?
Pardon me?
Would you rather see the $42,000 incurred on the 1 month?
How many payments is in that $42,000?
Just one payment. It's an interest payment due October 1st.
So we've been paying $42,000 four times a year for the last, you know, 2.5 years?
No. I'm talking about the FJC loan. $40,000 that's due, the interest payment.
Yeah, it was prepaid for a long time. It shifted to the stations only recently.
Yeah, no, the first 18 months was prepaid. Yes, I know. And then they've been paying for these last, well, for a year, and then there's only 6 months left. So, I don't know what that $42,000 is. I don't know if that's for 1 month or 2 months or for a year. I don't know. I just thought it seemed high, but I can ask Chris for the stack. Go ahead, I'll ask Chris.
Paulina's been on the stack, too.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, well, we have to assume that unless there's an incredible windfall for Pacifica, that the loan will be refinanced or a building will be sold. But anyway, or something, or some other asset would be sold, and it would have to be a building, I imagine, because there isn't any other asset that could be sold before April, the due date of this loan. So I would advise keeping those interest payments in the budget, because if we're not paying the interest payments on this loan, we'll be paying it on whatever loan refinances this one.
Well, we'll have to see. Great. You keep saying this loan is so easy to refinance. You forget that you had to put up almost $400,000 in an escrow account for the first 18 months of that loan. I don't know where that money will come from to, you know, refinance this loan so easily.
That's
so,
not necessary. That was done because that was added proceeds from the sale of the Nakupon building.
No, it was
that
done
wasn't
because
a stipulation
they recognized
of the loan. That
no.
was not required by the lender.
Okay, yeah. I
it
mean,
was
they.
Not.
So who decided to put that money in an escrow account?
The PNB.
That's not what the agreement was.
Point of
that
order. Point of order. Point of
yeah.
order.
Go ahead.
I personally consider discussing the detailed finances and the parties involved to be the characteristic for a closed session, executive session, not a public
okay,
open
well,
session.
The terms of the loan have been out there, and it was, to my reading, mandated by the lender. Anyways.
No, that
is
false. That is not true.
Okay. Well, okay.
Not true.
We'll see.
Not
okay.
true.
Well. Okay, we'll see. I'll double check, Grace. Anyways, let's move on. You know, that's in the thing. So, does anybody have anything else?
Yes.
To...
yes, Kim. Paulina has been requesting the stack for.
Sorry, Paulina, I didn't hear you, but now I do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to leave this call. I have a class to teach in about 5 minutes. Barry, a quick question about. I'm blanking on it. You know what? Actually, I just wanted to announce that I have to leave the call. I apologize. I do have a class to teach at 4:30, and appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, this is Michael Novick. Given what... okay, to go ahead.
Yeah.
Given what was said
Paulina,
about...
Michael, I apologize.
Go ahead.
Barry, yes, thank you. I remember what I wanted to ask about. Barry, our total teleco expenses, are we considering... working with consultants that could lower those expenses for us. I do have several possibilities in mind, people who do this kind of work that can lower expenses for us.
Yeah, Jonathan Alexander is currently working on ways to which we can cut our telecom expense down, maybe to less lines, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so I wanted to clarify the LSB resolution regarding the budget. We suggested a fund drive chart of 126 days of fund drives. It was six 21-day drives every other month, because that seemed like a manageable and survivable figure, less than we've been doing recently, and a way to cut back. But in the motion, it specifically said that if it was not possible to balance the budget with that, then additional sources of income that could be verified, or additional fund drive days, or further cuts might be necessary. So just to be clear, we were not mandating that particular set of days, but it was an assessment that as our days have increased, it's very, very, you can graph it on a chart, as the number of fund drive days have decreased, the per day take on the drives has decreased, so it becomes a vicious downward cycle that we're trying to reverse. And that was the point of that. It was not to constrict you from coming up with the budget. I did want to say that if the gap between the figures is as large as is indicated, but I haven't had a chance to look at the exact figures, in addition to the cuts that we're just talking about of telecommunications and otherwise, I think we do have to look at cuts in management. I know that a couple of the NPR stations put through a 20% cut in the pay to the managers. And I know you don't want to hear that because you're one of the managers, but it's easier to cut management than staff, because management are not covered by the contract and by the requirements of severance the way contracted, staff members covered by the union contract are. So
Alan,
can
I ask a question?
Alan. Excuse me. So I think that the management needs to look seriously at management cuts and what can be done. The last time there was an attempt to do this, the general manager and the interim program director took a 50% cut in their hours and for their pay. They didn't really stop working the hours, but they stopped getting paid for them. So I think that, people need to take this very, very seriously. We need to have a balanced budget, and we need to make the cuts that are necessary to live within our means. We have no other solution.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Alan.
I just heard a recommendation of six funded drives. And I didn't hear how many days there were in each fund drive. How many days were those?
21.
At
$15,000 per day.
How many dollars per day?
15,000.
No. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was in the motion that was passed by the LSB, but that was a suggestion only. It was not the final motion that was passed. That came out of the Finance Committee, and then it was revised somewhat at the LSB level. But my point is that it's only a suggestion. The point of the suggestion is that if you have 28-day fund drives or 33-day fund drives, you lose listeners forever. If you have a 21-day fund drive every couple of months, I know your proposal is 12 days every month. Alan, I don't think that's manageable. You cannot have a fund drive every single month. The staff will rebel and the listeners will rebel. So every other month gives a little bit of a break to everybody, including giving the management staff some time to prepare for the next fund drive. You cannot have 12 days every month in Fund Drive. First of all, that's 144 days a year, which is probably too many, and it's too frequent for everyone. People check in, they hear another Fund Drive, they never come back again.
I would just like to add that while the days that the Finance Committee and LSB, suggested is flexible. What is not flexible is the $15,000 per day. That's not flexible, not because we're arbitrarily making up that number, but that is what the last three or four fund drives have done. You can't say we're going to make 18, 19, 20, whatever, because that's not the way this works. If it does go up, well, hallelujah. But that's not the way this has gone, in a 10-year trajectory. Once it's down this low, it's hard to get it up. Anyways, the 15K is pretty much non-negotiable, but the days we can work with. But Michael is right, the more days, the lower it gets. Obviously, once you're talking about 90 days, in a half a year, you're dead, but that fund drive chart does not reflect anything that I think most of us can relate to. Most probably didn't get a chance to look at it before the meeting, but that's something we're going to have to work on after this meeting, because
Ellen to the stack
in this meeting.
Fred to the stack.
Barry has said that $13,000 a day is about the most you can reasonably claim. 16 is too much.
Okay, well, we thought 15 was a good number, and those are the numbers that we thought. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I took a quick look at that fund drive chart that Barry sent out today with the budget. And one of the things that's notable is that it's not very well organized, but the fund drive numbers that are not transferred as income on the budget. In other words, the fund drive chart doesn't match what's on the income side of the budget.
Yes, it does. If you look at the listener support for the end of the year, and you add the website income, that number matches what the fund drive chart is saying down at the bottom. Down at the bottom there, where you see total October 2020 through September 21, that $2,030,000 agrees to that number on the budget.
Well, we don't have a chart of the website income either. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it again, not knowing the website and the sustainers is a big problem for us.
Sorry, this is Michael again, if I can get back on the spec.
Go ahead.
I know I had to get off the call. At the beginning of the call, I think it was before Barry was on, there was a brief discussion with James Syverton, who's on the National Board and was at least listening at that point, about the question of the budget template. At the KPFA budget, LSB budget meeting, the business manager there did present some of the tabs that are in the, the budget template that we used to use, which had a fund drive chart, and all of those things are transferred automatically in the template into the month-by-month income, listener support income. So I think if that's not available to Barry, I think we should try to figure out how he can get it. I will say that when we had Memphis,
I have a template.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I will say that some of what Christine said earlier about what's available from Allegiance versus what used to be available from MEMSIS was troubling, because one of the things that MEMSIS did do very clearly was it laid out in the MEMSIS reports that we used to get from Terry Guy how much money was coming in each month from all the previous fund drives. In other words, there was money coming in, let's say, in March of a given fiscal year from even the previous fiscal year from fund drives that were held in the summer of the previous fiscal year. Some money was still coming in and was booked against that fund drive as returns, but the money came in a little bit in November, a little bit in December, a little bit in all that. So you can look on the MEMSIS chart and see the total amount of money coming in any given month and what fund drive it was coming in from. So I'm wondering if Allegiance has any capacity like that, and if not, why have you made the switch? Because also she said that it was difficult to generate a daily report about what was coming in each day from each show. And we have to have that kind of information. If we can't get it from Allegiance, then I don't think that was a very good choice. I'm done.
Those previous what Michael was talking about, those the monies that came in from previous fund drives is calculated in that fund drive chart formula. Okay, that's why it sort of back of the envelope works, you know, calculating the per day, because that for that in there, once you have filled out all the back end stuff, like, you know, that includes, and why I keep asking for this, which is the mailings and postage. That is a part of what goes into the listener support. The website income is already included in there. You know, pulling it out is just—it's just confusing. And with no documentation, it's more than that. And the sustainers—that all gets entered into the template, so it all flows in to the formula of the fund drive chart, and then it all gets put into the listener support in an appropriate formula for each month. And that's, you know, how you have, you know what your cash flow is, what to expect every month. So, I mean, we're just sort of at a standstill here over this. So, anybody else? I guess not. Do we want to review the P&L briefly?
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Let me just say
one thing. If we don't go onto the P&L, then we have to decide what we're going to do about this budget, you know, right now. Go ahead, Beth.
Is Bella able to get on? Because I had a text from her that she'd been muted and couldn't participate. I don't know whether she has a question or not, but thank you. That's all.
I don't see her muted. I don't see her muted.
Can you hear me?
Race to the stack.
I can hear you now, Bella.
So all of a sudden now,
no,
you must have...
No. I heard... Well, okay, go ahead, Bella. And Grace after that.
Okay, I have been on mute for a very long time. This is a regular occurrence at this meeting. Often I have had to hang up. So I want...
Point of information. This is Ken. Every time Bella comes on, I take my headphones off. Bye-bye.
Is that it, Bella?
No, that's not it. And that's not it. Quorum, discipline, ethic, these are parts elements of a meeting. And this is very, very poor. And so when I want to speak, I cannot be heard. I have no access. And this happens regularly at this meeting. And I complain, and you don't seem to care.
I don't know what to say. John Wenger is telling me he's been muted. I don't see him muted here. I don't know what to do.
And who has control over that? Is it you or Fred?
It's both of us. But I don't look at it as much as Fred does. Fred.
Someone is abusing that.
Okay, Bella, stop. I don't see any abuse. I don't see anybody muted here. Nobody. Zip, nobody. So let's move on.
I need to speak. We meet, it seems like, almost every other week. And maybe some earth-shattering information comes out very rarely. We are not moving anywhere. We're not advancing. And I hear Ken asking the same questions of Barry and the same questions of Christine. Obviously, Christine does not have the purview that she was represented as. And so we're back to square one, and I argue that. Whenever I send information via email to the group, it is ignored. No one comments on it. But then when we do get to the meeting, some of this information comes up from so-and-so. I keep asking for an accounts payable aging report. But then you keep asking and noting that this is not recorded. That is not recorded. I want to bring us back to the fact that the money that trickles in during the month is some payment plans. These are payment plans that we are not keeping track of because we are acting as though they don't mean anything. And then all of a sudden they show up, this bulk of funds shows up at the bank that we're not able to keep track of. This is called accounts receivable because these are installments that are not donated immediately, but they donate throughout different times of the month from different people. So they go to Braintree or they go to PayPal, whatever. The other side of that is that if we are making payments with PayPal, those payments need to be reflected. Those vendors have to be reflected in the accounts payable aging report that are not. So we have a major disconnect, but then we talk about other stuff, and it's usually other stuff, but we are not dealing with the very basics, accounts receivables and accounts payable, right? Thank you.
Grace, go ahead. No, well, wait. John Wenger, can you get on? If not, please call back in, because you are not muted on Maestro. Can you speak, Wenger? If not, please call back in. Maybe clear your phone or something. Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that we move that this committee rejects the budget because it's not balanced. That we want more expense cuts, and we want to be presented with a balanced budget and send that to the LSB as well.
Can you please put that in writing?
Sure.
Because I'm going to object to it.
Okay, well, why don't you say your objection before I waste my time?
Well, first of all,
amend.
Janine, it hasn't been accepted yet. So when it gets put in writing, then we'll accept it. This is not a budget to be approved, Grace. They're giving us a budget with an $800,000 deficit. We're not going to approve this
budget. I'm saying it should be not approved. It should be rejected and sent back for more cuts so we get a balanced budget.
Yeah, I mean, we know that, but I don't know what cuts you want, Grace, if you want to go over line by line. I don't see $800,000 worth of cuts. We can go over it line by line, but maybe you got 100 in there. Maybe, you know, I mean, we, you have to read this budget. There aren't a lot of cuts there, Grace. You know, the problem is we can't set our revenue, and I don't think the revenue is right yet. Okay, so that is my issue. I want to get this revenue set straight. I'm not sure if it's too low yet, but we need better numbers. And my suggestion would be, you know, at the last meeting, Ken and John Wenger were going to look into this revenue, and I don't hear anything from them, although Wenger would like to speak. But that's an area that perhaps we can set up a meeting with Terry and the GM with a few of us and hammer this out. But please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I
can. Kim, can you hear me now?
Yes,
finally.
Okay. Well, it wasn't here. So can we put this aside and let Wenger speak first, Grace?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I've called in twice, and it took the second calling in twice to get audible. I wanted to respond to what Michael was saying, because Michael was saying the budget is not balanced. So now the topic is coming back to the budget is not balanced. Grace wants to refuse a budget. There's different ways of going forward. Last week, as you recall, I asked Barry if he would, a couple of days before this meeting, provide us with two budgets, one of them which would implement the 30% reduction mandated by Grace and the PNB. And he said, yeah, he could do that. And then a second version of the budget where he would, if it turned out the 30% budget reduction, revenue reduction did not balance the budget, then keep on making cuts to salary, just the total amount and benefits in order to find out how far we have to reduce the salary and benefits package in order to get a balanced budget. Now, Anya has talked about using robots to do the programming and a variety of things. But Barry promised me that, and I was happy to get that, but he did not deliver on either one of them. Ken and I talked about it. Ken's budget may have addressed this. But we need, and I'm agreeing with everybody here. I'm agreeing with Michael, we need a balanced budget, and with Grace, we need a balanced budget, and with Kim, we need a balanced budget. That's the end of this transmission.
Okay.
And then Barry, where are those two budgets you promised me last week, 2 weeks ago?
I submitted a budget to Kim today. I gave her the budget with the layout of.
Right. But Barry, that does not respond to what you promised to us in that extension meeting.
Hey, look, I laid off four people permanent positions, and there were eight part-time positions I eliminated.
Alan Big to the stack.
The only way that you can balance this budget is if you increase your revenue or if you can adjust your central services down because of the revenue that's being reduced. That's another way. That's $441,000 that we pay in central services. So that's one area that you can, you know, balance a budget. That's a big, you know, a number there that you could get, that you could eliminate. Other than that, in order to, you know, reduce your payroll, you basically would have to lay off everybody at the station, really. And you only have like maybe three or four people there working. That's how you would balance the budget at this
point. Alan Beek to the stack.
Janine to the stack.
You're forcing somebody to do only 126 days of fundraising for the year, and at an average daily collection of $15,000, you're just not going to get a balanced budget. There's no way, unless you just lay off everybody. And then down to three, four people, and just do the station automated.
Yeah. I'm going to let Janine speak before Alan because she hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Janine.
Do I have the floor?
No, Janine does because she hasn't spoken yet, Alan.
No, that's fine. Alan can go first. I'd like to hear what he has to say first.
I'd like to second Grace's motion that we reject the budget that Barry has offered us, and that we instruct Barry to produce a budget which meets all of the criteria that Kim has set forth, including there's no unsupported evidence to support anything in the revenue stream, and that therefore the expenses have to all be cut to the point where the budget balances. That's the extent of my motion. I support that motion.
Another thing you have to consider is that if you lay off more people, that's going to increase your severance pay amount.
I move to vote on the motion.
Well, somebody write it up and send it.
Okay. just so I can add the
I haven't written
amendment.
Up. I'll send it now.
My amendment is simple. It would put a time frame on it of 2 weeks, and we would meet again.
Well, there's already a scheduled meeting next week.
Is there a group thing for the Finance Committee, or do I have to send it to everybody individually?
Well, no.
Please send it to everybody.
Just okay.
Hit reply on one something I sent earlier with the agenda or something. I don't know why you need a motion like this, but go ahead.
Okay, one moment.
I don't know what...
Just putting everybody's email address
fine.
In.
Okay, fine. Let me just say what I have to say about this.
I wanted to add...
Go ahead, Janine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is to Barry. Even though you feel strongly, you have your opinion, that by making the cuts to the amount that is necessary, that the PNB asked for, would cause all these different things, I suggest that you do it anyway, because the only way to convince us that you're correct is to show us.
Okay,
if
I can
so
do that.
If you're so sure of it, then you should submit something that makes the cuts necessary to the amount that's necessary, and we will judge whether it is undoable or not.
Okay. I sent the... This is Grace. Can I have the stack? Can I be on the stack?
Yeah.
Okay. I did send the balanced budget motion. And forgot to send it to Michael Novick. Anyway, I would differ with Barry. A 30% in cuts can be made, and the station can still function just fine. I've looked at the numbers. I've looked at the expenses of doing cuts. It would be difficult, but it will not destroy the station at all. Or it's possible. It's very possible. And I can't elaborate on that, unfortunately. But it's necessary, and it's absolutely possible, and should be done as soon as possible, in my opinion. So I just sent the motion. Would you like me to read it?
Sure.
I did it very quickly. The KPFK Finance Committee requests that the KPFK LSP reject the fiscal year 2021 budget that has been submitted to the Finance Committee as is not a balanced budget. The KPFK Finance Committee suggests that KPFK management implement expense cuts of at least 30% as mandated by the Pacifica National Board as soon as possible.
I have a point of information about that, Grace. Of what number is that 30%? 30% of what? Please give me a hard number for us to work with.
Expense cuts of at least 30% of the total revenue that we have of the only year we have And expense number four is fiscal year 2019, which is $3.8 million.
Oh, God,
so
no.
Have it be 30% of $3.8
million. Move to
well,
amend.
Boy, certainly move to something, because that's wild. Go ahead, Janine.
I think that can be done in the next week. I ask that we put that in the motion, that it be completed by our next meeting next week.
Okay, I'd like to also say that, Beth, your email is bouncing.
Can you repeat that, Grace?
Beth Van Gunten, your email is bouncing.
Thank you. I'll get it.
Grace, Bella here. I have a point of information.
Isn't there a motion right now? I'm sorry.
There is.
Grace,
but people
motion
can make
that's
a
been
point
seconded
of
in an amendment.
Grace,
Bella
I have
has
a point
a,
of information.
Wait, Bella has a point of information. Go ahead.
Thank you. Grace, would it not be wise to start regarding the 30% deduction to start with salaries, personnel costs? That's where it needs to start to satisfy a good chunk of that. Then to move on to other expenses, operating expenses.
That's not a point of information, Bella.
Well, I don't know how else to frame it to get in there.
Well, you get on stack, Bella. But Janine wanted to amend something or say something.
Yeah, I just I wanted to amend it to be done by the meeting next week, and that it is submitted in writing 3 hours before the meeting.
Well, can you put that in writing and send it along, please?
I actually can't. I'm just via phone.
Well, somebody needs to write it down. I'm busy right now. But we need it in writing. Are you on stack? If not, I'm next.
I would like to be on stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
If you will repeat the motion, I will type it and forward it to everybody.
Michael, I can work with it because I have my motion in front of me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Janine, first of all, I omitted that a request for a balanced budget. So you want to put the further, the KPFK Finance Committee request a balanced
strongly
budget.
Request
a balanced pardon me
strongly request.
Oh, strongly request that a balanced budget be presented. Oh, wait a second, I lost it. That a balanced budget be submitted to the finance, to the KPFK finance committee
via email.
Okay.
3 hours prior to it's next meeting.
Why
September
3 hours?
30th.
Why
so
3 hours?
So we have time to look at it.
It
should be
earlier. 24 hours.
Earlier.
Wait.
A day.
One person.
A day before.
One person, and that's not you, Bella. Janine has the floor to word this out.
24 hours is fine. I just wanted to give him as much time as possible so that there wasn't a reason he couldn't present it. But he has 24 hours
time.
Is fine.
Okay. All right, so I'll read the, shall I read the whole motion?
Yes, please.
Please. With the amendment, KPFK Finance Committee requests that the KPFK LSV reject the fiscal year 2021 budget that has been submitted to the Finance Committee as it is not a balanced budget. The KPFK Finance Committee suggests that KPFK management implement expense cuts of at least 30% as mandated by the Pacifica National Board as soon as possible. Further, the KPFK Finance Committee strongly requests that a balanced budget be submitted to the KPFK Finance Committee via email at least 24 hours before the next KPFK Finance Committee meeting.
The only thing about that, Grace, is that when you say balanced budget, I had wanted it to be the budget that reflects the 30%
okay.
deduction,
a balanced
budget
reduction. That reflects at least 30% in expense reductions.
Quick question. Do you want the regularly scheduled date of the second Wednesday, or do you want it next week?
Wenger, let me give us a minute. Well, we can amend
okay,
that,
so
but
I'll read
let's
the last
give us a minute.
Further, the KPFK Finance Committee strongly requests that a balanced budget be submitted to the KPFK Finance Committee via email at least 24 hours before the next KPFK Finance Committee meeting.
But you're not identifying the motion.
Stop, great, Bella.
Bella to the stack.
You will be on the stack after me. I am next, and then you will be on the
you're
stack.
You're always before me, right?
Can it
That's
only
right.
just be the 30th? I don't understand if there's already, can we actually say the date of the meeting, which is on the 30th?
Janine, we haven't decided yet whether we're going to meet next week or the week after, okay? That's up to the group. I said a meeting for next
That's
Wednesday
because
I don't want to run out of the 7-day window, okay? So that's for the group to decide in a few minutes.
Michael Novick from SAC also with an additional amendment.
Okay, but I'm next, and then Bella.
Yeah, just put me on the stack after Bella.
Okay. Can I go now? Okay, my amendment to this is cuts of at least 30% of $3.8 million of from FY 2019 expenses. Okay, I want that number in there so we know what we're taking 30% of. 30% of 3.8 million expenses from FY 19. Just so people know where that number is coming from.
Could Fred be on the stack too?
Okay, let me get this.
I send people that language actually as an amendment, so look at your email.
Which language?
Roughly the same language you did. I didn't
give
the number, but I said fiscal year 2019 compared to 2019.
Well, that's the number she gave. I don't have time to look it up and whether she's using the P&Ls or the audit, because that's not the number
that's
I have.
I just said. That's why I just said 30% relative to the total expenses of FY 2019.
Let me ask, so you're including, Grace is including central services in that expense number?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, how would you like the wording? Where are we? First, we have another amendment, and that's to add 30% expense cuts of at least 30% of the total.
The language right there was 30% relative to the total expenses in FY 2019. Take a look at your email. I sent it to everybody.
So it's 30% of the 3.8. So we need that number, Okay. I'm fine with putting them in there.
Okay. All right. So Janine's amendment is to add, further, the KKK Finance Committee strongly requests that a balanced budget that reflects at least 30% in expense reductions be submitted to the KKK Finance Committee via email at least 24 hours before the next KKK Finance meeting. That's Janine's amendment. And then Kim's amendment is to add the phrase.
No, it's Michael Novick's because he wrote it out.
Okay, implement expense cuts of at least 30% relative to the total expenses of fiscal year 2019. Okay?
John in the queue.
All right, so those are the two amendments.
John in the queue, please.
Okay.
Recognition.
Okay, so Bella's next.
Kim, can you hear me? I'm probably
yes,
muted again.
I will put you on the stack after Bella. Good God, people. Yes. Just say you want to be on the stack, and yeah, you'll be on the stack. Bella is next.
Okay. When we say of the total expenses, it really obfuscates the fact that we have to go in deep first into personnel costs. And, of course, it was an oversight that the total benefits were not even touched at the so-called budget. Because once you have any salary cut, immediately it affects taxes, it affects the rest of the lot. So we have to start with personnel costs. Once that area is satisfied to a bare minimum, then you move on to the operating expenses. That's what I said earlier. So if you go to the total expenses, that doesn't say much. You have to identify the area you want to target first. And we know that management is not under contract. So we have to go there first. And then we move on to the operating expenses. And I know there are quite a number of pockets there. Okay, thanks.
So am I still on the stack?
Yes.
Okay, so just to clarify for everybody, what we're talking about, 30% of $3.8 million is $1,140,000, which means a budget of about $2.7 million, which is roughly what we looked at in the LSD motion that we passed. So we're not in any strange territory here. And what those cuts are is really still management's prerogative. Management makes a budget, we review it and pass it on through the LSB to the PMD, National Finance Committee. They combine it. I think that what the cuts are, that's management's job, is to make the cuts to have a balanced budget. In terms of payroll, I think that you make a stronger case to the union if you make as many cuts as possible. And other things, I understand Bella's argument about the size of the payroll relative to the size of the budget, and I think it's the correct point. But to make the cuts in the payroll, you need to start with eliminating consultants, with reducing management, with reducing management pay, with reducing perks. It might end up, we've suggested a couple of times that we really need a national office budget so we can tell how much the central services need to be, as opposed to having a formula based on our own imagined listener support. It's kind of backwards. So all of those factors can be taken into account. It might have less in upcoming year in terms of central services, but we still have the obligation eventually to pay the overdue past central services. So all of this is taken into account. I did want to add one other point. Danielle has raised repeatedly the question of the cost of the license renewal. And I'll just say that it seems to me that because the licenses are held by Pacifica, that the cost of license renewal is a national office cost that would be covered by central services. But, I don't think it's necessarily in the budget of KPFA. I'm done.
Let me just clarify. Your number was, please go over your numbers again because I want to check with what I've done here.
30% of 3.8 million, they said, is 1,140,000. So if you subtract 1,140,000 from 3,800,000, you get 2,700,000, which is roughly what we were calculating.
That's not what I'm getting. I'm getting 2.405. So maybe my math, 30%, you take
30%, you multiply 3.8 million by 0.30.
Right. I got 1.416, blah, 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 to reduce from. So you subtract that from 3.822. I'm getting 2.04. Is that the number you came out with as what you see as our ultimate budget expense number?
No, if you subtract 1.1 something from 3.8 something, you get 2.7 something.
Okay, maybe I did this wrong. Let me go back.
No.
Kim, am I still in the damn queue? You didn't recognize me.
Yes. Okay. I recognize you twice already. You're next after Michael. I'm just asking him to get his numbers straight.
I will teach the arithmetic. It's easy.
No,
I've already done the number.
Stop.
The answer is 2.66 million.
Okay. So we have three different numbers here. That's great.
Well, let me explain my method.
You'll round it up to 2.7.
Go ahead, Wenger.
I confirm
if you, if you multiply by 0.7, that is a 30% reduction. So you don't need to calculate the reduction and then do arithmetic. The simple thing is you take 100%, subtract 30%, you get 70%. That number as a decimal is 0.7. You multiply that times 3.8, and you get $2.6 million. You're done.
I agree.
That is
fine. I'm getting 2.6 now. Fine. You know, that's why we do this ahead of time with real numbers for dumbbells like me who are slow at arithmetic. That's why. We've never had a
number. That wasn't
your
main point, John.
Pardon me?
That wasn't John's main point.
I'm being sarcastic because I need, you know, I had my math wrong by 200. So you're saying the total expenses should be 2.675, and the revenue right now is 2.3. No, yeah, and I'm still not sure that's right. So that's still not a balanced budget. Just saying.
Okay. Point of order. Can we get back to this motion, which has two amendments already?
We're working it out, Grace, to see if these numbers are working. I don't know. Are you finished, Wenger? And Fred was next, I think. Fred?
My question was answered.
John, did you have a main point?
What?
I'm wondering if Wenger had a main point he wanted to make when he first got on the stack, because he was
just asked him. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, Fred.
No, my question was answered.
Okay. So who else wants to be on the stack?
Grace wants to read the motion.
Does anybody else have a comment on this motion? If not, we'll just go to a vote.
Grace has to read the motion.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, based on what Michael Novick said earlier, I think we might want to help the situation by adding a fund drive day, maybe add 6 days, which would be another $90,000 free fulfillment rate. And this figure that we've just come up with, where you take the 3.8 million times 0.70, just to make sure everybody's got that figure, that comes up to $2,660,000. That's all.
2.66.
That's correct. 2.660.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, I'm just going to state for the record that I'm going to vote against it because there's still a $300,000 deficit, and I think the revenue is still wrong. So and I want to work on it, and I want to get these drive days set, and I want to get the web and the sustainer set, and I think we can do that in the next week or two. So I'm going to vote against it, but I'm willing to take a vote now.
Okay, this is great. Comment.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. In this motion, it says implement expense cuts of at least 30%. So if the balanced budget that they're presenting, if 30% is not in, they'll have
to. Who is making all that noise?
Shit that is
balanced. You are, Bella.
And it might.
I am not making that noise.
Oh, good God, people.
It might need cuts of more than 30%. Which is included as a possibility in the motion itself.
Okay, I'm still voting against it because the revenue is wrong.
I'm sending it to everyone with the amendment.
Fine.
If you read it, I will.
Is everybody ready to vote? I guess so. Then please read it again.
Okay. KPFK Finance Committee requests that the KPFK LSC reject the fiscal year 2021 budget that has been submitted to the Finance Committee that is not a balanced budget. KPFK Finance Committee suggests KPFK management implement expense cuts of at least 30% relative to the total expense year 2019 Pacifica National Board as soon as possible. Further, the KPFK Finance Committee strongly requests that a balanced budget that reflects at least 30% in expense reductions be submitted to the KPFK Finance Committee via email 24 hours before the next KPFK Finance Committee meeting. And this includes this amendment and
okay, I'll take a vote. Grace, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Alan Beek?
Yes.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Jay Johnson?
Pass.
Was that pass?
Yes, I want to read the motion again.
Okay, do you have it in your inbox? Or do you want
yes,
to
read it? Yes.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Steve Kaiser is not here. Kim Kaufman votes no.
Steve Kaiser's here.
Oh, okay.
Have anything to say. I vote yes.
Steve, I will send it to you.
Thank you. I vote yes.
Okay. Janine?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Polina's not here. John Wenger? Oh, Wenger, are you muted or you think you're muted or something? I don't know. And nobody's muted on that I can see. Dave, are you ready?
Yes, I'll vote yes.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously this passed. I'm still concerned about the revenue, and I think that's a major issue. And I think to do this without taking that into consideration is a little wacky, but, I will try and work with management in the next and before we meet again and try and get that worked out.
In a voter, did you call Beth's name when you took the vote?
No, she didn't.
I don't see her. Oh, yeah. Beth, are you still on here?
You're on here.
Good. Beth, I'm sorry. I don't have you on my main list, which is what I was going from. Would you like to? Well, she's not a member, Grace. She's a visitor.
Okay. That's fine.
That's why she wasn't on my list.
She might like to join.
Well,
so whatever it's worth, I support the motion.
Okay.
It's passed already, so it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's all water under the bridge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, moving on.
John Wenger emailed that he votes yes, and he seems to be muted.
Okay, well, not according to Maestro, so I don't know what the problem is.
And my Maestro panel shows John unmuted also.
Yeah. Well, I have reviewed the P&Ls next. What does anybody want to do?
Bella, to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
I believe that we can adjourn at this stage so that we can start working, try to get the right numbers, because this P&L will be changing once the adjustments are made properly.
What adjustments?
The deductions that need to be made across the board.
Wow. Bella, you need to know that a P&L does not get adjustments that we're working on to a budget. Okay?
I have the floor. I have the floor. Thank you. The P&L, the numbers, will be adjusted eventually because historical accounts. So some changes have to take place, and they will reflect on the fiscal year 2021.
All right. Well, that's not my understanding of a P&L. I mean, I think it's important to review them because there's stuff going on that we should be aware of. So what does Bobby want to do?
I didn't say no. I didn't say no.
Okay,
fine. They're critical.
What would the body like to do?
Is the P&L for August, you're saying?
Yeah, they're for August.
Yeah, can you remind me when you sent that? Because somehow I didn't save it.
Oh, I don't know, a couple of days ago. I sent it Sunday morning after I got it from Fred. Let me see any high points here.
I move to vote.
Would you like to be
the
on the stack,
meeting
Janine?
Date.
Janine, would you like to be on the stack, please? Would you like to be recognized? Janine? Janine?
She was muted.
Not by
no,
me.
I wasn't muted.
Would you like to be on the sack, or would you like to be recognized, Janine? Janine?
She was muted again.
No, we've lost
her.
Not
by me.
No, she's off the conference.
Okay, well, we'll, you know. Okay, I would, you know, in a large number to look at is, the variance on the last line of the P&L. Which says we're $676,000 worse than last year. And I just want to point out that if you take out the bequests from last year, we're only doing $126,000 worse than last year. And, you know, we're at a $535,000 deficit.
And we went up from 120 something days to 178, did you say?
Good God, I think, yeah, I wrote it down like when, you know, yeah. Right. I mean, you know, nobody was paying attention last year when we were just getting all that free money. So we are where we are. Let's see, I had written some other notes.
Well, Michael goes back.
Oh, okay. One thing I can deal with this later, but yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Well, it's just a comment I put in the email. They because they accrue the central services as an expense item for the stations, but then they also essentially accrue it as an income item to the for the PNO, which is not real. You know, we say it's cash accrual for income and you know. Cash for income and accrual for expenses, but they're treating it as if the P&O is actually getting that money when it's not. So I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, but that's not our problem, Michael. That's NO's problem. You know what I mean? I mean,
yes, but I'm saying it's Pacifica's problem if we think
if we had a balance sheet or, you know, an accurate AP, then it would reflect what we actually owe in central services. But that's part of that, you know, our deficit of $500,000.
Yeah.
Now I want to point out that the telemarketing on line 102 had been, and it was a lot of it, or some of it, a lot of it was being put in the telephone bills. And then in June, we had $3,000, July, $4,000 bill. And then in August, now we have a $16,483 bill. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But clearly, this is going to be a lot more expensive than we thought. Or maybe Barry can tell us why, you know, it's going up exponentially.
Yeah. The reason why it's gone up like that is because we hired a new answering service called A Better Answer. And they are more expensive than Telerep. And at the same time, we're still paying Telerep for the fund drive that we had in August. So that's why both of those charges were going into that particular category.
So June was Telerep, July was Telerep, and then August was Telerep and the new one?
Correct, yeah. Because we generated a pretty big bill with Telerep for the last fund drive in August. So I had to pay that bill, I think, in three payments. So.
Well, this is for August, $16,000.
That's right.
So that's how much?
$11,000 was Better Answer, and I think the rest was for Telerep.
Okay, so it was $4,000 for Telerep,
right.
Or
yeah.
$5,000. So Telerep right. went up from $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000 in August, even as our listeners support. Did we have a fund drive in August? No.
Yes, did we? We did. We had July 28th to August the 12th.
Okay. So that was like
15 days.
15 days, and then we were in full-blown, you know, for 2 months through June, and June was 3,000, and then 15 days in July was 4,000. So, and then August was 11,000.
Yeah, better answer is more expensive than Telerep. Although they
yeah, but we paid 11,000 to Telerep.
Correct. No, 11,000 went to Better Answer. I remember the invoice. It went to Better Answer.
Oh, okay. So 11K for August was to a Better Answer. Well, that's quite a bit more, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, then you're going to need to up your budget for that amount, Barry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Expenses, more expenses. Yes.
Well, that's management's choice to do this. I mean, what can I say, you know? But this is these are management choices. But they can't.
Well, and Yale felt that the Telerep wasn't answering most of the calls. Some of the calls were dropping off.
Right, we've heard that. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, we've all heard that. You know, and this is you know, back to you. You got to figure this out. But we can't pretend that these aren't the real costs now.
Right. Yep, you're right.
I still don't understand why we've been paying caging costs for the last 8 years since we got a lockbox. And now you're just saying, well, we're not going to, it's zero.
Right, because we no longer use that company that we used in the past to make our deposit. We have a lockbox now.
Why has it been going on for 8 years? Duplicate services, you know, for 8 years.
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Okay, last year we paid, you know, $44,000. And the year before that, $85,000. Did you double check with Terry on this?
Yeah, I did.
And he just said, "Okay, we'll cancel it."
Yeah, he said that we don't have caging costs anymore, so that's why it's zero.
Pretty wild.
Exactly what are caging costs?
They do the same thing as a lockbox, apparently.
I did an internet search, a Google search on caging, and I wasn't able to get any information.
Yeah, it was a company that we used to deal with out of Orange County that used to do the collection of the deposits by mail. So we used to pay them money for that.
Yeah,
before we got the lockbox.
No, we got the lockbox in 2012, Barry. I remember that fight well. Yeah, you're still not placing these expenses because computer maintenance still has, like, nothing in it. So I'm hoping at least starting October 1, those computer charges will be going into line 70.
Yeah, okay.
And our bank charges seem to be going up. You know, $300 and $400.
Yeah, Bank of America has increased their fees. So, yeah.
Well, you need to fix that in the budget then, because you know it's lowballed.
It's $1,000 a month.
No, last month August was $1,400, July was $1,300, June was $1,000, May was $1,100. April was 1,300. March was 1,300. February was 1,000. And, you know, I don't even know why they change like that month to month.
So the number of transactions, that's what it's based on.
Okay. So what is your commitment to getting the earthquake insurance? You said you might sign it or you might not, or what is the commitment to this?
I'm going to call the representative tomorrow and talk with him to make arrangement for a payment, for our first premium payment, and then we'll have earthquake insurance.
Okay, they used to cover us before, so, you know, it should be fairly easy.
Yeah. Ken, to the stack, I have a point of information.
Go ahead, Ken.
Barry, who has the authorization to contract for any kind of a service? Is it you as a business manager, you can sign off, or is it the GM?
It is the GM. Whenever there's a contract renewal or a contract replacement, I let Aniel look at it, and he makes a decision on whether or not we should take it or not.
And does then he sign it?
I actually give him input on it, but, yeah, he makes the final decision.
Well, I assume he's aware of this, right, Barry?
Yeah, he is aware of it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then just one other point of information. You were talking back and forth about a $40,000 a year expense for caging that we're no longer using.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Isn't that kind of an oversight? I don't understand. Why is that just going by ho-hum? It's $40,000 a year, and we don't use the service?
Well, it was $80,000 the year before, Ken. So, yeah, it's been a lot of non looking at this stuff.
What is this, like $40,000 worth?
They do. Check your email. I sent a list of caging vendors and what they do to free us up for donor relations. It sounds like BS to me. I don't know.
I don't either, but we've been paying a chunk of money we didn't need to pay for the last 8 years that nobody seems to know what it is.
Somebody, this is serious.
Yeah.
Barry, who do we go to get the exact data on this with the caging? What it is, what it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be.
Terry Guy handled that. Terry Guy about that. Terry Guy.
Why is it Terry Guy? Why is it Terry Guy?
I don't know. He handles. He's a
Michael Dudasek.
That's associated with the Cajun cost. When you
don't.
That's
where all the revenue comes in, Ken.
You're paying it. You must know what it's for. You're cutting the check.
Michael Dudasek.
Go ahead, Michael.
This is what it says at www.supportingfundraising.com, caging vendors. Caging vendors can help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of gift processing by helping you outsource repetitive tasks. This allows you to focus on stewardship, data integrity, and other aspects of gift processing that provide higher value back to donors. Following a selection of vendors, I'll just read one. Agilis, from the moment we partner with the organization, Agilis takes the utmost care in processing and protecting the generosity of your donors. While these functions are our primary focus, our favorite part of the job may just be in donor care, rewarding your donors with their charitable donations and assuming generous hearts. Alliance payment. Do you manually process your customer payments, or is the cost to upgrade your existing equipment too expensive? Here is a cost-saving option to consider. Outsource your lockbox processing function to Alliance Payment Solutions. Our sole objective is to provide lockbox processing services at a competitive price using the most advanced image-based remittance system available. In turn, your cash flow and employee productivity improves. So apparently it's like transferring paper checks to electronic deposits into the bank or something like that.
And it seems to me like it's a scam. I don't understand what amount of business you have to do to be able to justify $40,000 in caging costs that somehow are going to increase your donor satisfaction, but I doubt that we ever got it.
$40,000, it was $80,000 the year before, Michael. I mean, you know, I had no input to the last four budgets. So, you know, this is, you know, yeah, this is a problem.
End-to-end business process outsourcing with more than 4 years of expertise. We support marquee brands across industries, including media, nonprofits, utilities, and consumer products.
Bella, to the stack.
I'd like to make a motion. If I still have the floor.
Well, unfortunately, Ken, I heard Bella first. You'll be next.
Thank you. I noticed this caging expense also. I'm glad Michael brought up the language. It is a scam. What this tells me what is so amazing is that we've got a business manager that makes these checks. He is asked about it. He has no idea. And then the check obviously gets sent somewhere. Someone takes that money, and someone has been stealing that those funds because this is a scam.
I have not made any payment to any company in Orange County for caging costs. It just happened to be on the budget that was overlooked. There's no money going out for caging costs.
No,
Barry, it's
no,
on the P&L. What are you talking about?
This is on the P&L. This is on the P&L. Meaning this is historical information.
What line item is that?
While he's waiting, let me read a few more of these. Miratel Solutions. Miratel provides an industry-leading donation processing service that fully integrates all channels of donations and all types of donations received by nonprofits and political organizations. Our experience, proven technology, and robust donation processing procedures combine to form the perfect platform to capture your donor data and payment information via telephone, mail, or online. Here's another one, Nonprofit Business Solutions.
Okay, Michael, come on. We already don't, like, already. We're like, what? Caging costs is on line 96. You cannot blame Barry for all of this because you've all gotten the P&Ls for the last X amount of years. You could have also seen it on there and questioned it. Okay? Ken, you're next. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion. That the general manager provide an exact accounting of all payments made for, quote, caging services, unquote, and what services of any value were delivered for the past 36 months.
Oh, just put 3 years, please. I'm so bad at math.
All right, 3 years.
Thank you. Okay, can you put that in writing and send it to me?
Okay.
Send it to the group.
Michael, I didn't get your email on caging. Fred.
Alan, for a question.
Go ahead, Alan.
That motion was
the one I replied all to. Okay. I'll send it to you, Fred.
Please, one person at a time. Alan, go ahead.
He was asking for information from the general manager for either the last 6 or 36 months. I didn't hear which it was.
3 years.
3 years.
3 years. Thank you.
Any discussion? Ken?
Point of information, what's the email address to get to the finance committee? Is there one?
No, just take the agenda I sent out earlier. Everybody's on
it. Okay.
Where do you want this? What do you want? You want this just to go to the GM, Ken?
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, no, a carbon copy will go to the LSB.
So
I don't think we need approval of the LSB to request information.
No. We're just going to send it to the GM, right?
Okay.
I know what to do with it.
I got it. I got to find this email. Oh, there we go. Nope. You just sent out an email to everybody? Oh, the budget. Oh, I don't see that email.
I sent out the agenda earlier, before the meeting. Or use one of Grace's or Novick's emails. They're all have everybody on it. Well, I'll leave it to you to figure out, Ken.
All right, okay.
You should be able to do it timely.
I got it.
Bella, I have an amendment. I have an amendment to that, Bella, here.
Write it down, Bella, and send it to us.
No, it's only we need a time frame on that. So how soon we need that as soon as possible. As soon as possible.
I would amend that to say before the next meeting.
Yeah.
Or by the next meeting.
Which is what date?
Well,
we don't know
yet. We can fill it in when we make that next momentous decision. Okay.
Alan Beek with the stack.
Go ahead, Alan.
Can we ask to have that report from the general manager delivered in writing 4 days before the next finance meeting so we'll have time to study it?
No. I mean, no. We don't need it 4 days. You know, we'll be lucky if we get it by the next meeting. Okay. Any other discussion? Can we vote on this?
Is there any objection?
Bella, stop
nope.
it.
Is it going to be delivered in writing?
Ken is working on it.
What are we voting on?
Ken's motion to ask for the information on caging.
Yeah, I'm typing, Chloe.
Okay, so while he's doing that, can we put that aside and move to postpone discussion of this motion until we decide if we want to meet next week or the week after? Any comments? Bella
to the stack.
Beth to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Alan Beek to the stack.
I just wanted to remind the committee that the governance committee moved and the LSB adopted the motion that all reports are to be in writing and they're to be submitted in advance of the meetings. At least a day. I don't remember. You'll have to look back at our motion, but it's far enough in advance so that people can read them and understand them before they arrive at the meeting.
Yeah,
thank
but
you.
That was for committee chairs for the agenda.
I don't think it stipulated that.
Well, that was my understanding of what it was.
It's also standard operating procedure for most standing committees. It's only reasonable to expect that people have the information and have the opportunity to digest the information before they're expected to actually act on it, make decisions based on it. So that's my.
We have asked for written reports here. We have asked for budgets like the day before. We got it 2 hours today. Last month, we got it at the meeting. You know, we get what we get. I mean, we can
which is why I bring it up. It's time for that to change. if you don't get what you ask for, you let me know, and I will take it up directly with the management. Thank you.
Alan, speak to the meeting, to the stack.
Go ahead, Alan. Go ahead.
We're asking for this information from the general manager about the accounts payable, and that's to be delivered to us. You say at the next finance meeting. I would much ask that it be at least 2 days before, and I want to ask that it be in writing, not oral.
Ken, can you add that to the motion?
Yes, I did.
Please?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, fine. Bella, go ahead. I just muted her. Now I can't. Okay, go ahead, Bella.
I agree with Alan. I was going to put in on the timeline we needed, and I'm glad that Beth stepped in and made clear that motion that was passed recently at the LSB. All committees need information prior to the meetings. It is only common sense. We don't need to have a motion, but in the state of affairs we're in, we needed to pass that motion. We've been operating
Yes. Are we ready to vote on Ken's motion? Do people still need to see it?
Let's vote.
I sent it out. Let me read it so we don't go back and forth. I sent it out, but you may want to change it. The KPFK Finance Committee requests that the general manager provide details in writing on all payments made for, quote, caging services, unquote, as reported in financial reports, comma, over the past 3 years, which have ranged from $40,000 to $80,000 per year. I missed zeros in that. And exactly what services were rendered for those payments. This report should be delivered at least 2 days prior to the next meeting of the KPFK Finance Committee.
Okay, I have one amendment, Ken, which I will add, and why... If they were providing a service, why is it at zero now? Or maybe that'll be obvious. I don't know. I mean, I can ask that question at the meeting. But, you know, it's like, boy, if you could just wave a magic wand and say we're not paying this anymore, then whatever. I mean, we'll get forget my amendment. That's just a comment. Like, how is it zero now? Okay. Who's ready to... to vote. Oh, God. Poor Wenger. I don't know why Maestro is muting him, and I can't blame it on Maestro. I don't know what the problem is.
This is Ken. Can we add a date of the next meeting?
Yes. Okay. So let's postpone deliberation, voting on this motion, and decide you want to meet next week or the week after.
The week after.
I agree.
So in 2 weeks.
Which
right.
Is what date? What's
yeah.
The date?
2 weeks.
What is the date?
Well,
today's the 23rd, so that would be the 30th, right?
No, that would be next week.
Oh, okay. October.
That would be the 7th.
The
7th of October. The 7th of October.
Okay. Great.
30 days after September.
I'm sending this again to everybody.
Okay, so today is the 23rd. Next week, wait, Beth. Next week is the 30th. The week after that is
the 7th. The 7th.
It is the 7th, and then we have our regular meeting on the 14th. I just want to point that out.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Point of information.
All right. Beth, go ahead. Sorry.
Isn't that the same day that the Finance Committee has been scheduled?
What?
I don't remember what time.
This is going to be at 3 o'clock.
I mean, not finance. I mean, fundraising. Excuse me. Fundraising.
No, we meet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Fundraising is on a Tuesday. Fundraising is on a Tuesday.
Okay. All right.
We meet at 3 o'clock.
Thank you.
Okay, so October 7th. At 3 o'clock. Okay. Okay, we're ready to vote. Who votes
yes.
on Kent?
I don't think anybody objects. I don't think anybody objects.
Okay. Is there any objection to Kent's motion?
Michael,
did you say
that? Yes, I object. I think we should just wait for our next scheduled meeting. I see no.
The 14th?
Yes.
Second. I was going to suggest that, but let's just leave it for the our regular meeting.
Okay, by me.
By then, we should have Barry complete the project
Bella,
he has been asked for.
Bella, okay, so we're just going to have no budget, you know, starting, you know, the fiscal year starts tomorrow.
Yeah, well, what else?
We're not going to have it anyway.
This has got nothing, this is separate from the budget. Doesn't make it one way or the other. But
no,
I accept that as an amendment. So let's just go for the 14th.
Oh, okay, hey, I just want to input something here. Let people, I just did a little research here. That line item for caging costs and subscription services, that money that's being put in there is payment solutions. I just want to tell you that.
That's there.
Pardon me?
Okay, so it's payment solutions. We still don't know what it does and why, you know, we've been paying these bill charges. And why it can just go down to zero. That this is, you know, the question. So, I mean, you've been paying payment solutions ever since you got there, Barry, and you can't tell us what it does. So now we're writing a motion.
I just
to
told you what
GM.
It does. I said it's payment solutions. They do the collection of the credit card processing.
Well,
ACH,
we also have
ACH wires.
Well, now we're hearing something different.
Right.
That's what they do.
Let's go ahead with the motion.
Yeah, Barry, then that doesn't, you know, why is it half as much as last year and zero next year? So we'd just like a little more clarity on this. But thanks for that information.
I was just trying to get to a balanced budget. I mean, I'm trying to cut anything I can. To try to get to a balanced budget, all right?
Yeah,
so,
Bella, stop.
I will make up numbers. I'm not trying to make up any numbers. I'm trying to get to a balanced budget.
Okay, but if this has been providing
a service,
if it's been providing a service that you need, we need to know that, Barry. I mean,
I just told you. That's what I'm telling you. What it is.
Okay, so how can you eliminate it?
Because we are no longer dealing with payment solutions anymore.
Well, apparently you are, according to your bills.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but we just paid our last payment to them.
Okay,
because
well,
now
we'd like a little
Allegiance
more clarity.
Allegiance is going to be handling that.
Well, we need a little more clarity. We need a little more clarity, and we really need some costs for Allegiance because, you know, $80,000 for payment solutions, and Allegiance is going to charge something for this service. So we're going to proceed on this motion. Now,
point of information.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, the question I would have for Barry is, how can you eliminate the amount, even though you're eliminating payment solutions, which is what Tim is driving at? Is there someone else that's going to be performing this, or are there any other costs in performing this needed service, which is collecting money on the credit card? And if there is, we need to account for that somewhere, even if it's not to the payment solutions company. I think that's what she was saying.
And, I mean, we still pay credit card services money, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out the expenses associated with Allegiance that's going to take the place of payment solution. I'm trying to figure out, you know,
that's fine.
What the amount of money.
We have until the next meeting, Barry. We have until the next meeting to get this. We're all pretty much want to, like, adjourn this meeting. are we meeting on the 7th or our regular meeting at the 14th in 3 weeks?
The 14th.
What else does anybody else want to do?
So I'm offering the amendment of this meeting on the 14th, and I heard no objections to that.
Okay. Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
No, Bella, we're voting
no, we
got on...
vote. We have to vote on it. Let's
yeah.
vote on this, because that's correct. It's a very bad, I'm going to make a comment. This is not a motion. I'll just make a comment. It's a very bad indicator that we have to argue about a very transparent thing, that you have to pay 3.5% or whatever when you're clearing a credit card. And that this is mysterious is very unusual. So I thought caging services were beyond just clearing credit cards. And if there's nothing else on the P&L for clearing credit cards as an expense, then
there is
something else.
Yeah,
this is not the clearing.
$55,000 this year.
Right.
Read the email on paging services, please.
Let's please clear this. Let's pass this motion.
Let's stop discussing it. Pass this motion, and we'll find out hopefully in 3 weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Let's do it.
Any objections?
Alan Beek to the stack.
Okay.
Would the maker of the motion be willing to amend it to say that we ask the general manager if he can produce this information?
No.
Things are such a welder of mix-up in our bookkeeping that you never know whether a question like this can be easily answered or whether it's virtually impossible.
I think it would be better to ask if he can do it. Okay.
No, thank you, Alan.
Alan presented that amendment. Is there any yes vote for it? I hear none. Okay. Are we ready to vote on Ken's motion? If nobody can explain what it is, we're in bigger trouble than we even thought we were.
There are no objections.
Okay. Bella? Stop it. I'm going to mute you.
There are no objections.
Okay, here you go, Bella. I am actually muting you, so you can blame me for muting you. Okay. Are there any objections to Ken's motion? So it's unanimous.
Hooray.
And, yes?
Yes, this is Alan Beek. I object to the motion.
Okay. Anybody else? Alan to no. Okie doke.
Motion to adjourn.
Okie doke. Anybody objection? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Yep. Sorry this was long again. What are you going to do? You know?